Our scripture this morning comes from John chapter 6, verses 52 through 70. In the Pew Bibles, it can be found on page 1057. John chapter 6. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Then Jesus replied, Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil. Here ends the reading.
I was called into the ministry at the age of 35. Up until that point, I sat in the pews just like all of you, and I made a promise to myself on holy days in the church I would not preach for too long, and so that today we could celebrate the rite of confirmation. I share that because at the 8 o'clock service, I thought I had a relatively short sermon, and it went much longer than I expected. And one of the ways that pastors of this church have dealt with that is there's all kinds of individuals that remind us to keep it shorter. And you have done a good job of passing that on to the next generation, because one of our confirmands this morning said, well, why don't you skip the sermon and get to the rite of confirmation? So good job on that lesson there. And you know, I would be tempted to do that if it wasn't for this particular gospel lesson. One of you posted something on social media last night, and I read it and I was struck by it, and it fit right within an aspect of the sermon. It says, the church cannot be the salt of the earth if we keep sugarcoating the gospel. The church cannot be the salt of the earth if we keep sugarcoating the gospel. Sugarcoating the gospel comes from the standpoint of many of us want it to be easy. Many of us don't want to struggle in life, struggle in faith. Just kind of sugarcoat the lesson, pastors or Sunday school teachers or YF leaders or person that we're conversing with out on the street or in our homes. Give us the good stuff, make it easy. And the world struggles with sugar-coated lessons. The people that Jesus is talking to, is preaching to in this gospel account, they wanted it sugar-coated. I want you, if you have your Bible open, to page 1057, if you're using a pew Bible or your own, in John 6:60. On hearing the teaching of Jesus, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? I want you to connect verse 60 with verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. The teaching was hard. The teaching was not a lesson where you could just merely hear, you could merely hear the word and go on and live it out. This is a hard teaching to understand. You can't just skip over this passage and go on to something that's easier. You can't sugarcoat it and say, oh, it's not that deep, it's not that important. I understand the bread and the cup. But that is not doing justice to the Word of God. We have to make it a priority. And I know that the confirmand was only teasing, just like everybody of the congregation that has teased our pastors over the years about the length or whatever with the sermon. We know that is always in good fun, right? I thought so. But I want you to focus, it's a hard teaching, and then many walked away. It can be tough, it can be difficult. In the scripture, God, his son Jesus, they challenge us. They challenge us to go deeper into the scriptures. I came across an article that was written by a pastor in Texas, and he shared that people quit Jesus for all sorts of reasons. They quit Jesus, they walk away from the church. Oftentimes, they don't get what they want when they want it. Oftentimes, they can get hit with some difficulties in life, and they blame God instead of taking responsibility, their self-responsibility for what they've created. And they quit because life has become too hard. And then the pastor wrote, they want the faith to be sugar-coated. They want it to be easy and even entertaining. I've been thinking about this sermon for a couple of weeks now, and last night someone posted, the church cannot be the salt of the earth if we keep sugar-coating the gospel. We are called to be the salt of the earth. We are called to season the earth with faithfulness, which is appropriate to talk about in this time of confirmation before us. Jesus did not sugarcoat his teaching. He gave it to them, and he builds upon it. You can go back and look at John 6, 25 through 51, parts that we studied in the last couple of weeks and other parts that we didn't get to. But because of his teaching about eating the flesh and drinking the blood, they were grumbling. They were debating back and forth. And some chose to listen and believe, and others gave up and walked away. In verse 53, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He'd been bringing his listeners, the Jews, along, declaring himself to being the bread of life. This comes right after the feeding of the 5,000. He has reminded them about the manna in the wilderness. And then he adds and makes it harder. To drink my blood, to drink his blood, to drink my blood. The Jews would have been aghast at that. From Leviticus 17, the whole aspect of kosher, the kosher way to process meat is to drain all of the blood because it wasn't right. It wasn't good, it wasn't wholesome. And here he says, to eat the flesh and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That is a difficult teaching. And I've been studying this week and the week before, and I cannot convey it all in 10 minutes or 5 minutes or an hour. And the thing that we have to remember that makes this easier is when Jesus is offering the symbolism of his flesh and his blood, it's before the Last Supper. It's before the crucifixion. It's before the resurrection. And yet, his 12 disciples, when he asked them, do you want to leave too? Who answered Simon Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. When it gets hard in understanding, when it gets hard to be faithful, when it's difficult to make choices about where we should be, we have to remember that Jesus has the words of eternal life. And we are blessed to read in Scripture after this teaching of the symbolism of the Last Supper. That when Jesus offers his flesh and offers his blood, he's symbolically talking about the spiritual food that he has to offer. That Jesus, when it got tough for him, he did not give up. He hung in there. And he willingly went to the cross for everyone's salvation. He didn't give up. He didn't walk away. He followed the will of God for him. And the will of God for us. And when his blood was shed on the cross to wash away our sin, it was not easy for Jesus. It was a hard lesson. It was a hard teaching to follow up on, but he did. And so we have that symbolism of the Last Supper. We have the symbolism of the cross, and we have the glory of the resurrection. That it's not sugar-coated. It's not always easy and entertaining. It's one reason we have Presentation Sunday, is to give you a small glimpse of how hard it can be to put together what we believe. And all four of you did extremely well last Sunday in putting that together and coming up here and sharing. Because, as I tell them every year now, this is not graduation. We just talked about that an hour ago, didn't we? It's not graduation. It is the new beginning of a life of faith. And not just for them, but for all of us. Because God calls us to salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. May it be so. Amen. I invite Ali, Leah, and Reagan to come forward for the rite of confirmation as they affirm the baptismal vows made by their parents when they were infants. These three youth have found nurture and support within their families and in the midst of the family of Christ, the Christian church. And through study and prayer and reflection, they have been led by the Holy Spirit to affirm their baptism, to claim in our presence their covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of Christ's church. They are here to publicly profess their Christian faith and to be confirmed by God and this church family for service to Christ, to his world, and to the church, using the gifts which the Holy Spirit has granted to each one of them. Each of us here today is involved in this rite of confirmation. We have a part in this service because each of us is being called by the living God to respond to his love and grace in a continual striving to be obedient to our Lord. As confirmands, you have come so that God may publicly claim you for his service, that he may confirm you in his covenant and invoke upon you the Holy Spirit once again, by whose help alone you are able to fulfill the promises you are about to make this day. So I challenge each of you, in the words of the Apostle Paul to young Timothy, to keep alive the gift of faith which God has given to you. For the Spirit that God has given fills us with power and with love and with self-control. Do not be ashamed of witnessing for our Lord. Take your part both in living out and sharing the good news as God gives you the strength to do so. And above all, remember Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, that you may realize the salvation that comes only through him. And hear these words from John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Anyone who remains in me and I remain in that person is the one who bears much fruit. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. May you continue to remain in Christ, in trust in his promise that he will always be present with you. The faith which we share, and the faith into which Ollie, Leah, and Reagan are to be confirmed, is set forth in the Apostles' Creed. The confirmands will now confess their faith together. So you're going to turn around, walk to the top of the steps. I will prompt you to begin with, I believe in
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered and was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to us to quicken the dead.
Turn back around. You did just fine. Having been baptized in the faith of Jesus Christ and having stated your beliefs, I invite you to kneel and consecrate your confirmation vows, praying that God will seal them upon your hearts and lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Repeat after me. I give myself to God.
I give myself to God.
And not to the ways of the world.
And not to the ways of the world.
I pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ.
I pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ.
And will be faithful to him.
And will be faithful to him.
And his church.
And his church.
By loving and serving all people. I further promise to Christ, Lord Jesus, for you I will live, for you I will work, Lord Jesus, I will be yours in life and in death. Grant me, O Lord, eternal salvation. Will you reject the worship of self and worship of the world and give yourself to the worship of God alone? If so, answer, I give myself to God alone.
I give myself to God alone.
Do you confess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? If so, answer, I confess my faith.
I confess my faith.
Do you promise to participate in the life and the mission of this church family at St. John's, sharing regularly in the worship of God and enlisting in the work of this congregation as it serves this community and the world? If so, answer, I promise with God's help.
I promise with God's help.
And do you promise, according to the grace given you, always to remain a faithful member of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, to come to the Lord's table and share in Holy Communion, to love and serve God among all people, and to bear witness to the risen Lord working in the world? If so, answer, I promise.
I promise.
Having confessed your faith and made your vows, is it your desire to be a member of Christ's church? If so, answer, it is.
It is.
Let us pray. Almighty God, increase in each of these youth the gifts of the Holy Spirit, love for all your people, joy in serving you, peace when there are disagreements, patience in suffering, kindness toward all people, goodness in times of evil, faithfulness in temptation, gentleness in the face of opposition, and self-control in all things. Through these spiritual gifts, strengthen them for their faithful witness to the world, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Oliver Jean McDonald. Ollie, your courage was put on display last Sunday when you spoke before the congregation, speaking well of how God gave you courage, just like he gave courage to Joshua, to Jonah, and David. You are a kind and honest young man of faith, and the memory verses you've chosen for yourself come from Romans 8, 37 through 39. No, in all these things you are more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the God of grace and peace strengthen you in your faith as you live out your vows through the love of Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Leah, Renee, Nashsinger. Leah, everyone who knows you enjoy life with enthusiasm. A good way to describe that is how you wanted to be the first one into the water at the lake this year, so you just went running off the end of the dock and jumped into that cold water. That describes you well, enthusiasm and a zest for life. You have a drive and a desire to work towards what you want, including deepening your faith in Christ. Your self-chosen memory verse is from Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. May the God of grace and peace strengthen you in your faith as you live out your vows through the love of Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Reagan Lee Rutledge. Reagan, you are a talented and creative young woman who enjoys writing and music. Using these mediums to express both your faith in Christ and your growing knowledge and wisdom of the Bible and the Christian faith. Your self-chosen memory verse is the one you spoke of on last Sunday, Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. May the God of grace and peace strengthen you in your faith as you live out your vows through the love of Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. God of mercy and grace, we give you thanks for the goodness that you have shown toward Reagan and Leah and Ollie, and for the gifts, the power, and the fullness of life that comes with the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Help them live not for themselves alone, but for Christ and for all those whom Christ loves. Keep them abounding in hope, never giving up, pressing toward the goal of life with you in Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. Amen. I invite the parents of our confirmands to come forward with their bulletin and to stand and face their child. Parents, let this be a time of great rejoicing and that your maturing children have consecrated themselves to Jesus Christ and to his church. And let this be a joyful renewal of your own faith as well. For while it is the ministry of the church to surround these youth with Christian nurture and training, it is in our homes that we must continue to build them up in Christ. Will you renew your responsibility and offer every support and encouragement that your son or daughter may keep his or her vows? If so, will you please respond with the greeting and the covenant printed in your bulletin? Parents, you may greet your child, and then you may be seated. Confirmands, by your baptism, you were made one with us in the body of Christ, the church. In your confirmation, we rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this time and place. We celebrate your presence in this household of faith. Let us, the members and friends of St. John's Christian Church, express our welcome and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ by responding with the words printed in the bulletin. We are filled with joy for you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of St. John's Christian Church, we are going to extend to you the greeting of Christian love and fellowship. So I invite Congregational President Gary Frazier to come forward. Gary is going to hand you your certificate of confirmation. The O stands for Ollie. In there is also a copy of your class creed and a copy of your memory verse. And this bag represents a gift from the congregation, so welcome. In the bag is a little deck of cards, welcome, for you to study and continue to memorize. There's a little stone in there with a scripture, welcome. And on the bottom is one of those long treasured crocheted crosses made annually by Arlene Grimm. And as I told them when they were practicing, a book will come tomorrow that I'll put in those bags sometime soon. Okay? So welcome and receive this benediction. Go with joy and peace as fellow members of the Church of Jesus Christ and this church family. Amen.
I invite the congregation to rise as you're able as we come together with our closing hymn, number 369, O Jesus, I Have Promised. Following the spoken benediction, the benediction and song will be The Trees of the Field.
May you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, giving him eternal glory. Amen.